I was just thinking, before we come onto the passage, my wife would have been good for this subject. She has a very acute sense of hearing. I can be down in the kitchen, she can be at the top floor, and she can still hear me go to the biscuit barrel. You hear this little voice go, "Oi! You've had three already." Anyway, coming on to the passage, I won't give you background to 2 Chronicles, because I know Dave Cotton has done some of that. But I am pleased you're studying parts of 2 Chronicles, because it's often understudied. People think it's the same as Kings, but it's not. It's different. I want to begin, though, by just recapping very briefly. You had Dave Cotton speak on rejecting evil. I understand. I have listened to him. He's excellent. You've had Sir Norman speaking on seeking God together. So seeking God by rejecting evil, seeking God together. And now we're looking at seeking God by listening to him. And we're going to start in a moment in verse 14. But I just want to say something about... How does this work? If I can... next slide, please. All right, would you... It's all right. We believe in grace. I just want to say something about Josiah himself before we look at verse 14. In that he's a pretty amazing person, because he didn't have a very good background, did he? I mean, his dad Amon was an idolater for 2 years before he was assassinated. His grandfather Manasseh, 55 years, idolatrous worship. The Assyrian gods, the statues to Baal, Moloch, burning children in the Valley of Hinnom. And the reason I'm saying that is because I want to just make this point, if the first slide will come up. Your past background need not prevent you from listening to and obeying God now. You know, some people, they say that their background, they kind of can use it as an excuse. Well, Josiah, he had an open heart to listen to his conscience, to listen to God speaking through his conscience. He didn't have the scripture to begin with, as you know. He had a great grandfather, Hezekiah, who was sometimes nicknamed the second Solomon. And he possibly had, his mother possibly did him good, we don't know. Jedidah, her name means God's darling. Raised her up to be God's darling, perhaps. We don't know, that's not in the Bible. And Hilkiah the priest, he may have been an advisor to him. But the key point is, Josiah made a choice to listen to his conscience, to listen to God speaking his mind. He made a choice, I'm going to go God's way, even though my father, my grandfather, even though the temple, which you can see there, well, this is actually the temple, but it was in ruins. And I just think that's very important. And if you look at verse 14 in the passage, it says, while they were bringing out the money that had been taken into the temple of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. And the key point I want to bring out to you is this. Josiah was already doing or living up to the light that he had. And there's a principle with God that if you live up to the light that you've got and obey it, God will lead you into clearer light. It's rather like if you've got a car that's moving. You can steer a car that's moving, can't you? But if it's stationary and just not moving, it's difficult to guide. And because Josiah was already doing what the light he had, God was able to lead him and reward him with deeper light, greater light, and the scripture, which we're going to come on to. Because scripture is absolutely key to hearing God. Let me just go to the next. Get my writing. It says, how did Josiah listen to God before his discovery of the copy, the written copy of God's word? And I've just said, verse 14 shows us that Josiah was already listening. He was already doing what he thought was right. And the first principle here is this principle. Seeking God by listening to him means being prepared to obey the light you already know. And God can speak through our conscience. God can speak through creation. God can speak through death. I know you've had some terrible news lately, but God can speak through these things. He can speak through love. He can obviously speak through the Holy Spirit, the quiet, still, small voice. And obviously, chiefly and primarily, through His Word, the Spirit on the Word. Let me just move on to this chap. Sorry, we are going to go into the passage in a moment, don't worry. But the reason I put that up there is because I want you to imagine, you know when you're at the Olympics, you get this whole hubbub of noise, and then suddenly the runners get into the blocks, and they crouch down in the blocks, and they're waiting to hear that pistol, you know, the crack of the starting pistol. Well, the thing that blesses me about Josiah is he was a little bit like that. He was just eager to hear, what can I do? What is God saying to me? He was attentive, and I think Peter said at the start this morning about a sound booth, that sometimes we don't hear what maybe the Lord is saying. I had a friend who worked on a naval air base in Sicily. He worked for the American Navy, and he was an ASDEC operator. You know, sonar? He used to listen out for submarines on the sonar, and he could detect the faintest propeller whirl in the ocean. He showed me it, he talked about it with me, and I was like, I can't hear a thing, mate. But he could just, he said, can't you hear the rotating blades? And he was able to pick up, and it's all about heart, it's all about, are you willing? It's a willingness to obey what you already know. And if you do that, God will lead you to greater light. Now there's a sheep. Now, my wife advised me not to say this, but
listen to her.
Okay. But can I just say this? Because I think I can be myself with you guys. I trust. Can I just say I'm not pro Brexit, anti Brexit? Okay, it's not being political here. But I've got a sheep farmer friend, and that's his sheep, and he nicknamed it Brexit. Now, that's not because he maybe disagrees with Brexit, he just thought it was funny. So don't take that as a political statement from the pulpit. Thank you. But the point is, it's a sheep with no ears. Now, the sheep had a lot of maggots in its ears, and he had to cut them off. He had to remove the ears. And you remember Jesus said this, and we will come back to Josiah in a moment. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's about being willing to listen to your conscience, and the implication is that you can possibly lose your ears. If you resist the Holy Spirit long enough, and I'm sure you people are not doing this, but I know there are people, I've met them, they resisted their conscience long enough, they've crushed God's voice, that they become deadened to the voice of God, and their heart dies. They become like walking dead men, really. A bit like when King Herod... had Jesus standing before him, and when Jesus stood before King Herod, Herod asked him lots of questions, and Jesus said nothing. Why? Because Herod had already killed the voice of God off. He chopped John the Baptist's head off. You know, John the Baptist was speaking to his conscience. He just resisted, killed it. So Jesus had nothing to say to him. And I have met people, and God forbid that I would become like this, who resist and ignore the still small voice of God. And eventually, it can go quiet. I was at college and I studied A-level English literature, and I studied The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. Samuel Taylor Coleridge. Do you know this book? And in that story, there's a scene where all the sailors are dead. And they're walking dead men on the decks of the boat. And they're like zombies. And I believe that if you resist what the light that you've got long enough, you can become just existing. But that's not the Lord's heart. And with Josiah, he was doing what God had put in his heart. If you go back into the earlier chapter where Norman and Dave were, you read of all the things he did. He knocked down the high places. He got rid of the altars of Baal. He smashed the Asherah poles. He burned the bones of priests on the altars. He crushed idols to powder. He repaired the temple of the Lord that the kings of Judah had allowed to fall into ruin. All before he'd even found God's word. This is how God leads people. I just wanted to bring that point out. The next section. We're just going to look at verses 15 to 18 now. Just want to read those to you quickly. Hilkiah said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan. Then Shaphan took the book to the king and reported to him, "Your officials are doing everything that has been committed to them. They have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the supervisors and workers." Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. And the little point I want to say is this. Are we prepared for the God of surprises? You know, I know you can't always be prepared for a surprise, but are we ready? You know, God may sometimes bring light on something, and God may do that with us at times. Bring us a surprise. And the biggest surprise I want to try and leave with you today is to do with the Bible, God's Word. I want to leave that with you. But before I do, I just want to tell you about a couple of surprises that happened to me. I had a friend called Jerry, who wasn't the Lord's. He was my neighbour. And I was trying to witness to him about the Lord, and I was praying for him one day, and as I was praying for him, the Lord told me to buy him a model ship. Isn't that random? So he'd been telling me that he had been in the Navy in the war on an Italian vessel in the Mediterranean that had been captured called the Attilio Regalo. And he'd been talking about it. And I was praying for him, saying, "Lord, how can I reach Jerry?" And this little, "Go and buy him a model of that ship." Don't worry, I'm coming back to Josiah in a minute, in case you think I'm weird. But the point is this. I wasn't expecting that. That's just random. Lord, don't be silly. So anyway, I looked on, there's no Airfix model of it. So I looked on eBay, and I found a little metal one. I bought it, took it to him. Do you know, it opened him right up. He was like, "You found my ship. I was on that in the war." He was like talking. Now, in the end, Jerry died of cancer. But I was able to me and Karina actually, sow into his life. And on his deathbed, a vicar went to visit him, and apparently, I understand, led him to the Lord from his deathbed. You might think that's a random story, but what I'm saying is, are we ready for God to surprise us? The other very quick one, and then we must get on to Josiah, otherwise you won't want me again, is this. Corrie ten Boom, whose house I've been to, she was once in Germany ministering or trying to minister to ex-Nazi people. And they were not interested in what she had to say. And God, the God of surprises, led her on what to do. She was saying, "Lord, I've been in these meetings for 3 days and these people who are being denazified are just not interested in what I've got to say. What can I do? Lord, help me." And the Lord said to her the word, "Chocolate." What? Then she realised in her suitcase she had a lot of chocolate. And chocolate wasn't allowed in Germany after the war. For about 2 or 3 years, no one had chocolate. It wasn't heard of. So before preaching to them, she got a suitcase. To all these, they were ladies, they were ex-women SS guards. She gave chocolate to them all, and they were like, "Chocolate? Seen that for 3 years. And they were really open, and then they listened to her, and she preached. And I understand some got saved, came to know the Lord. Coming back to the passage, God led them to discover a surprise, and it was the book of God. And I want to ask the question, who really found the book? Was it Hilkiah? No, it was God. God found the book. Who really gave the book to Josiah? Was it Shaphan? Not really, it was God. Okay, Hilkiah gave it to Shaphan. Shaphan gave it to Josiah. But really, it was God who found the book. God who revealed the word is important. That's what you need. And God gave it to Josiah. God brought it across his path. And I just want to say this point. Josiah's faithful listening was rewarded by a rediscovery of the book of God. And I believe as Christians, if we listen to God and seek him, as we've been told, the Lord will lead us back to rediscover our Bibles in a fresh way. And did you know that God, in a sense, can give you the Bible? You might say, "Well, I've got 10 copies, thank you very much. I've got about 10 Bibles. I'm not talking about owning one on your shelf. I'm talking about God giving it to you in prayer. You can pray and ask the Lord to give you the Bible. You say, that sounds weird, Simon. You're a weirdo. I'm not having you back. But the point is this. You can actually ask God to give you the Bible, give you a thirst, a desire. He can give it to you afresh, is what I'm trying to say. You can rediscover, Christians can rediscover their Bibles. And I know you guys are very keen on Scripture, but God gave it. They rediscovered it. And it's just wonderful. I know people who have been earnest in seeking the Lord, and the Lord has caused them to really soak in Scripture. Phil and Judy, who are sat here, they know or knew a man called George North, who's now in glory. And he was locked up in the war for being a conscientious objector. He refused to do fire watch duty on a particular day when the bombs were dropping. They put him into Maidstone Prison. And he said, whatever else they did to me, he said, I determined to do one thing. I was going to master my Bible. And he asked God to give him Scripture, to give it to him. And he used to read 1 Peter in the prison cell, and it would burn in his heart, these truths of God. And one day, when he came out of prison, someone said to him, why are you such a man of God, Mr. North? And he said, when everyone else was out playing football, I was reading my Bible. And he learnt to enjoy and feast on Scripture. And he felt that the Lord had enabled him to rediscover the importance of Scripture. I know of two other people. Roger Jacobs, I don't know if any of you know him. He's a missionary to Malawi. He felt the Lord leading him, as he sought God, to spend a lot of time soaking in Scripture when he was at university. Because he felt the Lord say that when you get out of university and you get married, you get kids, and you're not going to have so much time. So use the time to soak in the Word of God. George Whitfield, I didn't know him, a bit before my time, but he used to feast on Scripture. And he says in one of his biographies, or it's a biography by a pastor, Dallimore, two-volume biography about George Whitfield, it says that he was forged and formed on the anvil of Scripture. So I just wanted to leave that with you, that God can, in a sense, give you the Bible, and you can ask for it, take it, eat it, devour it. And the reason I want to say that is because of what Josiah did in a moment. The people of Judah had not been valuing God's word, had they? You know, the temple was a mess. It was full of clutter. Because why? Because the book of God was buried somewhere, possibly under a pile of stones, possibly hidden from Manasseh. Or it was possibly thrown aside by Manasseh. Or some people think it may have been hidden in a wall when they built the temple, and it was just a traditional copy that was hidden. But the point is, they weren't valuing God's word, were they? And I want to say this, that if we stop valuing the Bible and what it says, all the clutter and rubbish will come into our lives too. You know, like the temple. You don't read the Bible, give up reading your Bible, and all the clutter can fill your life, just like it did in the temple then. And when Shaphan brought the book in verse 18, I wonder if Shaphan even valued it very much. Because Shaphan said, when he met Josiah, as Gordon read for us, he said, King Josiah, your officials are doing everything that has been committed to them. In verse 16. Then in verse 17 he said, oh, and they've paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have given it to the workers. Then verse 18, it's almost like he says, oh, and by the way, oh yeah, oh, Hilkiah found a book. Here you go. A book. It's not any old book. I don't know if that's right, but it feels as though Shaphan was like, oh, they're doing the work, they've got the money, we're paying, we're doing this. Oh, by the way, here's a book. It's like, it wasn't important. But look at Josiah's reaction. In Josiah's reaction, in verse 18, at the end of verse 18, it says this, Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. Now, I don't think it was a two-minute read. I think he said to Shaphan, oi, Shaphan, sit down. I want to hear this. And he made the poor bloke read the whole... I mean, it might have been the whole book of Deuteronomy. Scholars wonder, was it the book of Deuteronomy? Probably. Was it the whole five books of the law? It may have been. But whatever it was, Josiah wanted to sit and hear the whole thing. He wanted to soak in it. He wanted to prioritize. He didn't want to be like the people of Judah who hadn't valued it. He wanted to sit down with the word of God. And I'm going to encourage you. If you don't get anything else out of this morning, if I never see you again, sit down with the word of God. Like Josiah, he sat and he wanted to soak it all in and drink it all in. And that was his whole attitude, really, to God's word. So, principle two, a fresh rediscovery of the priority and the value of God's word. Right, next little slide. The value of soaking in scripture for those saved by Jesus. I know you probably know most of this, but I just wanted to encourage you, why do we need to read our Bibles, soak in our Bibles? Well, first of all, obviously, it strengthens your faith. It strengthens your mind against all the rubbish that's in the world. But in this man here, I don't know if you know who that is. Does anyone know who that is? It's George Muller. Anyone heard of George Muller? He ran orphanages in Bristol in the 1840s. He was a great man of God. But the key thing for which George Muller was remembered was he was a man of faith. And do you know why, partly? He used to read 10 chapters a day. Now, I'm not beating over the head and saying, you've got to read. It's just, he realised God's word is actually that really important. It's not just a book, like your other books. And he read 10 chapters a day, and he was known as a strong man of faith, and he attributed it to that. Another little point I want to make, linked to George Muller, all these top three, these first three, all linked to him, actually. Scripture nourishes us, and it's more than just the mind. Now, we need to read the Bible to understand doctrines, beliefs, truth. I mean, I've just read a book called Doc Talk. It's all about doctrine. It's a bit heavy, but it's important. We need that. But sometimes you can come to Scripture and read it purely to obtain food for your soul. Nourishment. A couple of days ago, my children were playing up. They do occasionally. And I had to administer discipline. My wife does that as well. But because they were playing up and I had to sort of, you know, put something down, I didn't have a lot of time to read the Bible or pray. I only had about 15 minutes that day. I mean, normally I take a lot longer. And I sat down and said, Lord, you understand. And I just read the Bible slowly, carefully. And I wasn't looking to get a word to preach to you guys. I wasn't looking to get a new thought. I was just wanting to find some nourishment. And I'll tell you this. I don't remember much of what I read. But I went out to work and I felt as though I'd had a meal. Now, that might sound weird, but I did. I believe if you, it's like if you get up for breakfast, if you miss your breakfast, you can't work as hard in the daytime because you're feeling weak and debilitated. And many Christians are poor eaters, undernourished. And nourishment is really important. I just want to tell you one other quick story. When I was a teacher, I had a class called 9E, third year. They had a nickname. They were known as 9 Evil, because they were bad. And it was a horrible lesson to go and teach them. But I remember that in the morning, I just soaked in scripture, prayed, and just nourished my soul on God's word. And a bit like Josiah, made it a priority. This is important. And I went into the class with 9E, and it didn't faze me. They could have thrown a fridge at me and I wouldn't have been so bothered. And it wasn't like I was losing, getting all ratty. I was like, calmly take control. It was like God can nourish you through scripture. The other thing that can happen is it can maintain your prayer life. We're going to come on to prayer in a moment through Josiah. But you see, George Muller, he said, his prayer life was quite dry until he started reading scripture to nourish his soul. And by reading Scripture, nourishing in Scripture, he found his prayer life became more alive and he was able to pray better. I do think it's connected, Bible reading and prayer. Look, I used to try and get up and I'm just going to pray for the missionaries in the morning, but sometimes you end up mental wool gathering, you know, thinking about your dinner or something. But the Bible can maintain your prayer life, and he found this to be true. It helped him maintain his prayer life. A few other quick things. It is the gateway to enjoying God. Did you know you are allowed to enjoy God? You are allowed, just to let you know, you're allowed to enjoy him, enjoy what's in the Scripture. And I'm sure that Josiah, when he heard the curses from Deuteronomy 28, or in those last chapters of Deuteronomy, and he led him to repentance, I'm sure also part of him said, I found God's word. It's like treasure. It's spoil. I'm sure he did. And it obviously is the road to knowing God. To me, the Bible is a bit like a window. If you excuse that expression. You know, these windows, right? This one's covered up. But the thing about a window is, if you can open, like that window over there, you can open it and you can see what's beyond it. You can hear what's beyond it. You can hear the birds, you can smell the smells, and I think the Bible, it's not just a painting on a wall, it's not just like a textbook that's dry and dusty, but God, it's like a window. God can, through the words of Scripture, God can reach through the window and bless your life and touch you and nourish your soul. It's not a painting like that verse in Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, idle as a painted ship upon a painted ocean. There you are. That's my showing off my English literature. It's not just a dry painting. It's something. It's God's word, and it communicates life about Christ and God. God thinks the Bible is important. That's why he led it to Josiah and gave it back to Josiah. That's why he rediscovered it, because it's important. Now, here was a man who didn't think the Bible was important. Does anyone know who that was? Voltaire. French Enlightenment writer of the 18th century. He was a deist. He wasn't an atheist. He believed in God, but kind of God wasn't interested. Well, I've tried to work out how true this is. I think it's true, so I'm going to say it, because it's in one of the a document in Google Books. Accurate place to. Voltaire was meant to have said in 1750, in 100 years, the only Bibles around will be in a museum. Well, according to Google Books, in 1824, in the 20th report, volume 7, of the British and Foreign Bible Society, they opened a distribution centre in Paris, and it was the house of Mr. Voltaire. Oh, sorry. And they filled the house from the cellar to the attic for the Bibles in his house. I was like, in your face, Voltaire. So God obviously thinks the Bible's important, and that's why he brought it to Josiah. And if you remember nothing of this morning, I want you to just remember this. I believe, for you as a church, God wants you to rediscover your Bibles afresh and give it to you if you've kind of started to drift away. Now, the rediscovery of the Bible can be a prelude to revival or renewal, whatever word you like to use. In the Josiah's day, as you know, as you do your studies, he was already doing revival, but it emboldened him to go further. He went even further, more extensively, in destroying idols, and it led to revival in the nation. How deep it went, we don't know, but it definitely was of God that he did that. And here is a revival. Sorry if I'm not staying in the passage, but I just think it might bless you. I wanted to say it to you. I work in OMF International, and I hear lots of stories about North Korea, China, Vietnam, where missionaries work. And you may have heard of the revival that happened in North Korea in 1907. There was a huge revival there. For a lot of different reasons, but part of it was sparked by a return to Scripture. They already had some Bibles in the land, but something happened. A missionary called Robert Geraint Thomas, he was martyred. This missionary who was taking Bibles to North Korea, he was martyred. He was killed on a riverbank, and on the riverbank there were some Bibles that were left. And some of the locals, including the executioner who killed him, took the Bibles, and some of them used them as wallpaper. They tore the pages out, and they put it on their walls as wallpaper. You think, well, that's not very respectful to God's word. But the funny thing is, people started going into the houses. And over time, you can read about it, over time, it took 20 years, wasn't immediate, people started getting converted by reading the Bible as wallpaper. And it began to spark this. So the Bible can be a prelude to revival. Important, therefore. Now, back to the passage. I've only got three principles. The third principle is this. Read your Bible like Josiah did. Read your Bible like Josiah. What does that mean? Well, I want you to look at verse 19, please. And in verse 19, if I can find it, and I know you're going to talk about this next week, repenting humbly, but in verse 19 it says, when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his robes. And if you jump to verse 27, thank you for the comment. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before God when you heard what he spoke against this place and its people, because you humbled yourself, tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you. And I know you're going to study this next week, but the key point I want to make is he responded to God's word. He didn't just read it and have head knowledge. Josiah didn't go, oh, that's interesting, and file it away. He humbled himself and said, I've got to change. You know, Josiah could have reacted very differently when he read God's word. He could have said, but I've done a lot. I've knocked down the Baal statues. I've taken away the Asherah poles. I'm repairing the temple. Come on, God. I'm doing a good job here. But you know, he didn't look at what he'd been doing. He looked at what he hadn't been doing. He hadn't done the Passover. And he was a humble man. You know, he could have said, reading, he could have said, well, that's all my grandfather's fault. King Manasseh, it wasn't me. Pass the buck, you know, which is what people like to do. Like Adam did, you know, it was the woman you gave me. He could have done that, but he didn't. He said, the key point I'm trying to get to you is read the Bible like Josiah. In other words, when you read your Bible, don't just go, well, that's nice knowledge, but go, is there any challenge? Do I need to change? And he humbled himself. And he pressed on in the reforms, even though things, he knew that Huldah, the prophetess, had said, the nation's still going to get judged. But it didn't stop him. He was faithful, even though things weren't quite going his way. The other thing to say, very briefly, about how did Josiah read the Bible, and this is a really key point. He was thirsty enough to read it with curiosity and real prayer. And what I mean by that is, if you look at verse 21, please. He said this. When he read it, he said, go and inquire of the Lord for me. Go and inquire. In other words, he was thirsty for more. He didn't just read it and go, oh dear. And that was it. Well, we better just wait for the judgment then. He said, go and inquire of the Lord. And okay, partly he maybe wanted to know, is God really going to judge us? But he was thirsty for more. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, that your thirst for God need never come to an end. You can be thirsty for more of God. As you read the Bible, you can go and inquire of the Lord and read it with curiosity. You know, he read the Bible with curiosity. My last two slides. There. Now, that, for those on the tape, I do apologise if you're listening, but that is a cat going into a washing machine. And the dog is tricking the cat, and the dog is saying, oh, please go in there. Now, why have I got such a random picture on there? Because of the old phrase, curiosity killed the cat. You know that phrase? Curiosity killed the cat. Well, I want to say to you, if you read your Bible with curiosity, curiosity will save the cat. Curiosity will save the cat. You've got to be curious when you read. Don't just go, oh, okay, fine. That's my reading done for the day. But, you know, go, Be like Josiah, who said, go and inquire of the Lord. What does that mean, go and inquire of the Lord? It just means read it, pray. Read it, pray, ask the Lord. You know, you might not get anything, but it's fine. But respond to what is written. Don't just file it away. And my final slide is this. And it's all about this going and inquiring in prayer. Now, you might wonder why I've put that up there. That is a picture. Does anyone know who that person is?
Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson, right, he's a film director. And does anyone know what that film is there? It's called They Shall Not Grow Old. It's a World War I documentary. Has anyone seen it? Well done. It's, but it was coloured in, and it was made, basically it's old, 100-year-old footage, and they coloured it in, and they put good sound to it, and made it really realistic. Now you think, you may say, Simon, why are you telling us about this? Well, here's the point. I went to see that on the premiere viewing, you know? The premiere. And do you know who's in the audience? Him. And what they did at the end of it, I mean, I wasn't actually with him, I was watching on LiveLink, okay? But the point is this, the guy that made the film was in the room with them. And they showed the film, and then they referred to him from time to time. They, particularly at the end, they'd stop and say, Mr. Jackson, why did you put that in the film? And he was there able to tell them and talk to them. And the point I'm trying to get across to you is they were watching the movie, asking him questions. And there was a relationship going on. And I think it's a bit like that when we read our scriptures. The Lord is with you. Of course, use your commentary. Of course, use the John Stott and all the great men. Please. But even through that, God can speak. But it's that, the heart of Josiah, he said, go and inquire of the Lord. He didn't treat God's word as a dry old dusty book. I know it's a very simple message, and you may have wanted more, but that's what I felt to bring. The key point I felt to leave with Christchurch Hill this morning is this. I believe God wants to us to rediscover and give back to us the word of God with the priority. And just be like a Josiah, will you? Read the Bible like Josiah did.